Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I really want to minister a word into your life tonight. And I do want you to lean in, like Dylan said before. And this word came out of a journey, and this word, I believe, is going to lift some of your heads back up that's bobbed down. It's going to lift some of your shoulders back up. It's going to lift a burden off many of you. It's going to reignite your faith. It's going to strengthen you, and it's going to give you a new perspective on maybe where you currently find yourself in life. You know, sometimes God doesn't change things. He wants you to change the way you see things. And tonight's message is going to be changing the way you see where maybe you currently find yourself in life right now. This message began in me on a plane journey some months ago. And what happened was I was in Chicago after the end of a 2-week ministry trip in the States with my family. And I had one more sermon to preach, and then we were going home the next morning. So we went back to our hotel. It'd been a long trip, and I only had a few weeks back at home, 2 weeks at home, and then I was back in America, and I had to sort my women's conference out in between. So I was ready to go home. Bags were packed, middle of the night, and the telephone rings in the hotel. It's never good when the phone rings in the middle of the night, wherever you are. I answer my phone, and it's my PA, Shirley, that's worked with me for years, and she never rings me in the middle of the night. That's why she's still my PA. And I answered the phone, and she said, "Charlotte," she said, "I had to disturb you." She said, "I need to let you know you will not be going home tomorrow. You need to put the news on." She said, "A volcano has erupted in Iceland. There's smoke and clouds of smoke everywhere, and everything is canceled." She said, "I've been on the phone all night long. I've been trying to get through. I've tried to find you a boat, a train, a plane, anything. But they're telling me the earliest that you can possibly leave the country is 2 weeks from now." Me and her both knew what that meant. Because 2 weeks from that day was when I was supposed to be getting on a plane and going back to America. My kids at the news were very excited because it was 2 more weeks off school. So they were celebrating and thanking the Lord for a cloud of smoke. See, perspective is everything. And we began to scramble a plan of what to do in those 2 weeks. And after realizing we were stuck, we made the most of our 2 weeks. We went to stay with some friends of ours, and we did a little bit more ministry. And then 2 weeks came along, and the kids went home, left me behind. I stayed for another week, did my ministry, saw through my commitments. And by the time 6 weeks now of being away from home, how many of you know I was really ready to get on that aeroplane? My staff were sending me messages like, "We are Googling you because we've forgotten what you look like. Do you realize we have a conference and we are all losing our hair? Please come home." And so I was sat on the aeroplane, finally ready to go home. Seatbelt on. Everybody's doors are shut. And the pilot comes on the speaker system of the aeroplane. And he says, "Ladies and gentlemen," he says, "I don't know if you're aware, but we have had news that there's been a second eruption of the volcanic ash. There is smoke back in the atmosphere. And I just want to let you all know that I will get you home. But we're going to have to go the long way around." When he said that, the Spirit of God said to me, "Charlotte, sometimes in life, I will get you there, but I'm going to take you the long way around." And tonight I want to minister to every woman in here that is on a long way round journey in their life. Every family, every leader, every mother, every business person, every student, every carer, every broken heart. You're on a long way around. You don't know why you've not got your breakthrough yet. You can't understand what's going on. But maybe, just maybe, over the tannoy of your life, the pilot is saying, "Baby, it's all right. We're just going the long way around." I don't know why in the Bible, there are people that got instants and people that went the wrong way around. I don't get it. I've asked God about it. I don't think it's fair. I don't think they thought it was fair. I read the word and I see stories in there that you go, wow. Stories of how God just instantly came through for someone. Stories about how there'd be a whole army going to battle and going to fight on the front line. And God would say, hey, chill out. All you have to do is smash a jar all over. You're going to be home for dinner, have a bath, see the wife, get to watch football. All done. Don't even have to break a sweat. Instant breakthrough. Annihilated the enemy. Plunder taken home. And then we would see someone like Joshua, who's fighting so long and so hard that his arm is failing, that the eyesight's going because it's getting dark. He's exhausted. He's worn out. And he's saying to God, if you could just keep the sun still, I'll carry on. The same God. Why didn't God just say, you don't need to fight? It's all right. I know it's late. It's been a long night. I'll sort it out, because God could. I read in my Bible how some people just had a miraculous provision. You and I know people that get miraculous provisions. You see them coming. They're like Sister Instant. They're so annoying. They're always like, Pastor, Pastor, I have a testimony. It's like, oh, please sit down. I prayed. And 2 seconds later, someone gave me a check. And you're like, yay for you. I saw my dream house. And God gave it to me. I found the dream man. And I married him. I prayed for a baby. And he slept all night. And you just want to go and slap them. You're like, what is the deal? Why do you get an instant and I'm still believing? I'm still praying. What's gone wrong? We start to ask questions like, does God not like me? Is God in a huff with me? Bible's full of those kind of stories. Stories of instants and stories of long way around. And I'm going to show you tonight two such stories. Two miracles, the same miracle that was needed. The same miracle that was requested and needed by two different people. One was an instant and one was a long way around. The first one that I want to show you happens in Luke 7, verse 11. It's a story of a woman who is burying her son. A widow. We don't know much about her. But the story goes in verse 11 that Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, don't cry. And then he went up, touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, we don't know anything about this woman. We've got no context that she'd even prayed a prayer to have a miracle. We don't know about her. We don't know if she even believed in the Savior. We don't know if she even had a relationship that she was looking for, Jesus to be a healer in her family. We don't know anything about her. As far as we know, Jesus was just passing by, a complete stranger. His heart went out to a complete stranger, and he goes, today, you get a present. Today, you get one of my very special instants. And he walked up to the coffin And he touched the coffin. And he said, get up. Open the box. And presented her with a miracle. A provision. Instant. I mean, they were at the funeral. They'd not planned this. This was not something they expected. Instant. Stranger. No clear reason why he chose this woman. Just his heart went out to her. So, you would think, wouldn't you? When someone needed the same kind of miracle that knew Jesus, that was even Jesus' friend, that Jesus loved, you would think he would get there double fast. You would think he would get there before anything went wrong. You would think he would rush to help them. Sometimes, it's not how it works. And in John 11, in the Message Bible, there's a family that know Jesus, that love him. And they need an instant. And so they send word. And I'm going to read you this story because this story is the story of a long way round. He says, there was a man who was sick. It was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils. Hello? That's close, people. I'm reading from the Message, and then wiped them with her hair. That's even closer. I mean, I've been for a pedicure, but no one's ever wiped my feet with their hair. You know, that's a level of closeness that's not normal. This is a closeness. This is a friendship. These are people that he knew. And it was their brother Lazarus, Jesus' friend, who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, like some of the sisters in this room have sent word to Jesus. Master, the one you love so very much is sick. Some of you have prayed, Jesus, the one you love, the good Christian, the one that tithes, the one that's always in church, the one that serves, the one that doesn't show up late, the one that sticks in there for other people. Master, that one, hello, me, do you remember me? Wipe your hair with my feet, family. We have a problem. Sometimes we pray those kind of prayers to God, like, hello, where are you? I'm the good girl. You need to know what comes next because it's going to change some of your perspective. When Jesus got that message, he said this. This sickness is not fatal. However, it will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. Jesus loved Martha. See, his love wasn't in question. And he loved her sister. And he loved Lazarus. I love verse 6. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. It's like Jesus said, I love you, but this is going to become an occasion. This isn't an instant. This is an occasion. And he began a journey of going the long way round with people that he knew, people that he loved, people that had served him, people that he'd been in their home. See, sometimes because you're close to God, because you love him so, he thinks that your relationship can stand a long way round. He thinks maybe we're just grown up enough that we can stand a long way round. He thinks maybe we have enough in us. We don't need the instant all the time. Just like when you have children, Sometimes your children want an instant, and sometimes you have to teach them something by going the long way round. And Jesus, oddly to everyone else, but not to him, said, well, I've heard you. But then he makes this statement, it will be an occasion. That's important that you remember that statement. If you let him, it will be an occasion for his son to be glorified. And he begins a journey of going the long way round to people that love him. See, when you go the long way round, it's never just about you. And I want some of you to see tonight that the thing that you are going the long way round about is not just about you. And if we can see what we're going to see tonight, maybe your faith will rise up, maybe your strength will return, maybe your eyesight will be fixed, and maybe you'll get a new energy for the journey that you're on. And so it says, after the 2 days, he said to his team, his disciples who were with him, okay, let's go back to Judea. They said, Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you and you're going back. I love the disciples. I love how they tell Jesus what he can't and can't do, like some of us do. Hello, Jesus, you can't do that. I know you're the savior of the earth, but you can't do that because we're the disciples and we know so much better. Jesus replied, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble because he can't see where he's going. And he said these things, and then he announced to all the people that are now getting involved in this journey, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. See, God's perspective and ours are often very different. And I'm going to go and wake him up. The disciples said, Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll have a great rest. And he's going to wake up feeling just fine. Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. See, Jesus is beginning to involve the disciples in Lazarus's miracle. Now Jesus has started to say to the boys, boys, we're going somewhere. You're going to come with me. And we're going to go see Lazarus, who you think is asleep, but I'm letting you know he's not asleep. And you're going to find some stuff out on the long way round. And he says, verse 14, Jesus became explicit and says, boys, Lazarus has died. Listen to this next line. And I am glad that he has for your sake. I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake. Because you are about to be given new grounds for believing. So let's go. So let's go. On the way to Lazarus, Jesus has wrapped this miracle differently. See, this miracle is not one layered. This miracle has other layers. And so on the way, he takes a layer off of the present of the miracle that has been asked for. He takes a layer off. And he begins to include the disciples in someone else's long way round. And he says, I'm glad, not for their sake, but for the boys' sake, that you are getting to see this. Because you're going to get a gift on the way to theirs. You're going to be part of this on the way to theirs. I remember when, about 10 years ago now, my husband and I received news that we couldn't conceive. I was told that I would never have children. I remember sitting in the doctor's office at the news thinking, just like some of you are thinking, no, excuse me, I'm one of the good girls. Hello, Lord. I prayed one of those prayers. Hello, it's me. Hello. Friends of Lazarus. People that serve you. I don't think so. I would like an instant. I'm busy serving you, Lord. Fix it now. I prayed one of those prayers. But what I didn't hear was the pilot's voice saying, it's all right, babe. I'll get you there. I didn't know that we were about to go a long way round. We began a journey of believing God that took us a lot longer than I thought it should. And as I look back on that journey and other journeys since then, I begin to see what happened for Lazarus was happening for me. Because on the way to what I had requested, I had to start going to a hospital and getting treatments. And I began meeting people that I would have never met if I had an instant, that I could only meet on a long way around. People that had no hope, people that had no faith, people that didn't know the God that I knew. And I started conversations, and I wonder whether for their sakes, God wanted to involve a few more people. I began to collect people, even though I'd not received what I'd asked for yet. I began to swap email and make friends with people that didn't do church and didn't know God, and I began to tell them why I had hope and they didn't, and I wonder if they were on my long way around. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm glad this has happened, not for their sake, but for your sake. There's somebody on your long way round that God is including in your miracle. There's somebody on your long way round that God is adding a layer for. But he's not finished yet. So now the boys are included in a lesson in believing. I'm glad for your sakes, boys, because you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go. That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, come along, we might as well all die with him. Don't you love Thomas? Thomas was going to add a new layer. Thomas was going to get a miracle on the way to someone else's. Thomas was going to see something that would silence his doubt that he would tuck away for the rest of his life because of this long way around. Jesus had another layer he wanted to help. Jesus finally got there and he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him while Mary remained in the house. Here's two very different women, and he's after them both on the way to the long way around. We have the older sister and the younger sister. Anyone in here an older sister? Hello. Otherwise, we would be known as the control freaks. It just kind of comes with the job. You come out first, you organize everyone else that follows after you. The older sister syndrome. And here are two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Martha was the older sister. She was the organizer. She was the control freak. She sorted everyone out, reminded everyone when it was Mum's birthday, so everyone looked like they remembered. But she had control issues. And Jesus is like, I know this is about something else, but if you'll let me, I'm going to deal with something in your life on the way around as a family. So Martha, because she's the control freak, goes first to meet Jesus while Mary stays because she's emotional. We'll get to her later. We all have Marys in our family. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You can feel her disappointment. But look how she starts to try and tidy up. Damage limitation. Even now, I know that whatever you ask, God, he will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will be raised up. Martha replied, yes, yes, yes. I know he'll be raised up at the resurrection at the end of time. Lovely Jesus, you know, we all both know you're late. He's dead. This is embarrassing. You didn't come through. I'm going to go to church this Sunday. I'm going to put a brave face on it. We're going to make up a reason why you didn't come through for me, Lord, again. And I'll just pretend that I'm still in faith and we're still believing. And, you know, at the end of time, it'll all be sorted out. And praise the Lord anyway. But you and I both know, I prayed. You didn't show up. I'm disappointed. Let's just do control, damage, limitation. Let's just tidy this thing up. Let's just move on. I'm disappointed. I've given up. You've let me down. You know what? It's all right. I'm a big girl. I'm the eldest. I'm used to it. I always have to deal with all the disappointments around here. Mary's no use. She's just crying. She's crying, crying, crying. But I'll hold it together. I'll, you know, put this face on. I'll say to the pastor, thank you, pastor, for praying for us. But, you know, we've been praying for 3 years. Nothing's happened. So you all know that, you know, whatever. I'm not going to come to the healing service anymore because there's only so many times you can pray for healing. You know, I'm just going to cut back on how many services I come to because it's embarrassing. Control. Verse 25. He replies to her, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now. Resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this, girl? Yes, Master. All along I've believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. Sometimes on our long way round, there's a believing issue that God's after. Do you believe? I know you sing it. I know you say it. I know you amen it, but it's times like this that your believing becomes tested. It's times like this where you actually find out how strong your faith is. It's times like this when you stand firm even though everything around you is crumbling and God says to you, do you believe me or not? I know it looks like it's getting worse, but do you believe me or not? Do you know I'm immune? Do you know I'm God? Do you know this does not affect me? Do you know the economy is not affecting me? Do you believe me or not? Do you believe that when you sow, you reap? And if so, why have you stopped giving? Do you believe that I'll come through for you? And if so, why have you stopped praying? Do you believe I can heal you? And if so, why have you resigned yourself to a life of sickness? Do you believe I can bring your prodigal back? Because if so, why have you stopped praying for them? Do you believe, Martha? See, I know we're friends. And I know we hang out in the house together. And I know you worship and adore me. And I know that you and your sister have laid a table for me on many occasions. And I know we've been close, but I need to know, is there a believer here? Is there a believer here? And begins to take another layer off the present. He said, this is about your believing, sister. This is a believer's check. I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm taking a layer off. I'll get there. Don't you worry about it. I'll get there. But let's just deal here. And you know, when we were going on our long way around, we had one of those moments where God took a layer off and he challenged to the core my believing. And I'm a leader and I'm a pastor. Hello? I preach about the God of the breakthrough. And God said, I don't care if you preach about it. I want to know, do you believe it? I want to know, really, do you believe? I used to believe in Santa Claus. And then I realized I was going to have to be Santa Claus. And my kids are at an age where I want to keep them believing in Santa because it's just too special to spoil. But some of us, our faith in God is like our faith in Santa Claus. If he doesn't show up with a present, we stop believing. If he doesn't show up on Christmas Eve down the chimney, then something's gone wrong. But what if Christmas Eve becomes New Year's Eve? And what if New Year's Eve becomes summer? See, God will choose when he delivers. And Martha's like, control freak. You know what? You didn't show up. It's okay. Let's tidy it up. You know what? Yeah, at the end of time, it'll all get sorted. Thanks, Jesus. Let's just damage limitation. Some of you are right there now with your thing that you were believing for. You damaged limitationed it. So do you believe? You know, when we were in the hospital and we were told that this fertility thing was going to drag on and And we're on the journey. And by the way, my long way round was 5 years, not 5 minutes. 1 year in, 2 years in, 3 years in, your believing starts to wane a little. You start to think, I'm not sure. I don't know. And I'll never forget being in a prayer meeting that I was leading. There was a time of worship and I had my back to the crowd. And I was worshiping like this and I felt God say, turn around. There's a couple at the front of the platform. You're going to go pray for them. And I knew without even turning around that they were believing for a child. And like a good leader, I kept my back to the crowd and I said, I don't think so. No one knows that me and you are having this conversation. I'm just lifting my hand high, but I'm just telling you, no way. It's my turn. I'm done. I'm spent. I am sick of it. Why is everyone else around me seeming to have babies popping out when they don't even want them? Oh, we weren't trying. See, we'd not told anyone. We'd not told anyone as a couple that we were believing for a baby. We'd not told anyone we were struggling with infertility. We kept it to ourselves. Sometimes there's wisdom in keeping things to yourselves, between you and God and your close friends. And we were just standing so people would come and say, I'm pregnant! I remember in that moment God saying, you don't want to be in trouble with me. I turned around. I felt God say, give away what you haven't got. Sow a seed. Do you believe? I walked down the steps. I'll never forget it. Never seen the couple before in my life. Took the hands. Didn't even look them in the eye. I went, you want a baby, don't you? They were like. Just started to pray. Lord, pray. I tried to put feeling in it. But I prayed. Prayed for them, prayed that God would bless them with a child. Never saw them again for another 2 months. 2 months later, they come bounding down to the front of the church. We have to tell you we're pregnant! Great for you! And they went, we've never been before, and we've never been since. We're not even believers! Hello? Hello, I'm the good girl. I'm the pastor. I'm the leader. What is that about? Charlotte, that couple needed a miracle. I needed to get it to them through you. Their baby was on your long way around. Do you believe? Me and my husband's believing was tested. We shed tears. And then we stood back and said, well, if God's God, we need to believe. But the instant hadn't come. The long way round wasn't yet. So there was another layer. Because there was another sister. She wasn't a control freak. She was an emotional wreck. Martha went off, found Mary, said, the master is asking for you. She whispered in Mary's ear, the master's asking for you. The moment she heard it, Mary jumped up and she ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town. He was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when her sympathizing, I love this, when her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. In other words, they thought she was just changing weeping positions. Well, we've wept here for 4 days. Now we're going to go weep somewhere else. Because there ain't nothing else going around here but a lot of weeping. There's a whole lot of weeping going on. And this is the youngest. That's awful. God, you got through for me. Let's dance. I can't go to church. I can't bear it. I can't stand with those happy, clapping people. God never comes through for me. I'm sick of testimonies. Why is it always them people? Why am I not blessed? know what? You find your weeping friends that get around you. And they come with you to weep. And then they move over here to weep. And then they get on the phone with you and weep. And then they go over there and weep. And then we weep a bit more. There's a whole lot of weeping going on. And there's a time for weeping. But when Jesus shows up and he's asking where you are, you better get up. And you better start weeping. And you better line up. And so she runs over to Jesus with all her little posse following her. And she comes to him. And it says Jesus was waiting and she fell at his feet. The same feet she had bathed. The same feet she'd wiped. She said, Master, you can hear her disappointment. If you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. He began to take another layer off. And he said, girl, enough. Enough. I remember crying over things that I couldn't control. And I remember God saying to me, enough. I remember one time on my seventh time of treatment, I remember going to the bathroom before our women's conference with my microphone on. And I went to the bathroom when there was blood. And I knew that our treatment had failed. I had my microphone on. I started to cry and I felt, looked in the mirror and I'm like, Lord, there's a crowd waiting for the meeting to start. I felt God say, you got a choice. You can cry. I'll allow that. But there's a whole load of women out there that are crying over things too. And you can get up and you can go out there and you can bless them. And I went out there and I preached a message on taking plunder from the enemy with so much passion and so much force. I tell you, I kicked the devil in the teeth and I stood up on my feet. And it wasn't long before my tears had gone and my faith rose up and my shoulders stood back. And you know what? It was the next month I fell pregnant. And he begins to take off a layer. And he said, where did you put him? And the master came and he saw. And now Jesus wept, see, there's a place for tears. And then the Jews said, check this out. Oh, look how deeply he loved him. Others among them, the criticism starts to gather the longer your miracle takes. Oh, well, if he loved him so much, if he loves her so much, if she tithes, if she goes to healing place, hello, healing place, and she's still sick, hello. If he loves her so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? Why didn't this God come through for them? After all, he opened the eyes of a stranger, a blind man. And Jesus' anger again welled up within him. Began to silence critics. You see, he wouldn't have had critics on an instant. But now there's a crowd that have gathered thinking, well, why do you believe? Why do you still go? Why are you still praying? What is the point? They've all gathered. Another layer has been added to the journey. And Jesus said, remove the stone. The sister of the dead man, Martha, control freak, still can't let it go, said, oh, there'll be a smell. It's been 4 days. Let me get my candles. Whoa, control freak, let me just sort this out. It's embarrassing. Listen to this. Jesus looked her in the eye, like I believe God wants to look some of you in the eye tonight, and said this, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, he said, go ahead and take away the stone. They removed the stone and Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed. Father, I am grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I have spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. And then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he came out, A cadaver was wrapped from head to toe with a kerchief over his face. And Jesus said, "Now, unwrap him and let him loose." Same miracle. But this time it came the long way round. And if you go with me on the long way round, you'll find actually this was not like for like. The instant and this one wasn't the same. Because if I go on the journey of where this has taken me, I begin to collect all the people that have been involved. I can collect the lessons that I've learned. I collect the strength that I have found that I would have never found in the instant. I collect the relationships that I've made that I would have never made. I collect the tenacity. I collect the insight. I collect the wisdom. And when I actually add up my miracle, I have double for my trouble. And ladies, I want to encourage you tonight that maybe, just maybe, over the tannoy of your life in an area, God has said, "Baby, I will get you there. I will get you home. I will come through. But I am going to make this an occasion for the glory of God. I'm going to make this a testimony of testimonies. I'm going to make this something that others will speak and hear about. I'm going to gather a group that will be there to see that moment. I'm going to silence a critic. I'm going to bring along the control freak. I'm going to sort out the emotional. I'm going to restore not just a man, but a family. I'm going to make you stand taller. I'm going to give you a story." Hallelujah. See, without my long way round, I wouldn't give some of you hope in here tonight that are barren. Without my long way around, some of you would think, "Why me?" Without my story, some of you would be sitting there thinking, "It's all right for you. You always get instants." No. I don't know why some people sometimes just seem to get it. But I do know why. There's been seasons in my life when I've gone the long way around. And I pray tonight that your breakthrough is not necessarily that you land an instant. Is that you begin to look at the path that you're on. You begin to look at the company traveling with you. You begin to look at the people in the waiting room. You begin to look at the barren family. You begin to look at the ones that are broke down. You begin to look at the scenery on the way to your miracle. And instead of resenting it, you begin to rejoice over it. And you begin to say, "God, if I'm going to go a long way around, I'm going to enjoy the scenery. I'm going to take some photographs. I'm going to ask the band to come back up here because God's here tonight. I'm telling you, God is in this place. And I'm telling you, some of you, if you had your head down, some of you have given up. Some of you said it's not going to happen. Some of you have resigned to the fact it's always going to be the way it is. And I'm telling you now, God is with you and God is for you. I ministered this message a few weeks ago and a woman came to me with tears afterwards and she goes, "You know what? I would have never, ever fostered those children if I'd not gone the long way around." And I look back at all these kids, because we were barren, we decided to take in our home. And I think of how we loved them and we blessed them and we prayed for them and we told them about Jesus and we had a moment with them. And I realize now, they were on the long way round. I don't know what it is, if it's healing, if it's a prodigal son, but maybe there's another mother that's heart's breaking just like yours for her prodigal. And maybe God says, "You would never feel her pain if you weren't on this journey. You know something that no one else knows in her world. You know a God that has kept you firm. Maybe your marriage went through years of rocky, years of hard, You say, God, I wish I could have just bypassed those years. And you know what? God doesn't inflict pain on us. But there's sometimes seasons in our life that we go through we have no control over. And God's looking for those in that season to take something out of the sorrow and find a seat. Find a story. I don't know what this is for you tonight, but I guarantee you, because there always are more people on the long way around than there are with an instant. Always.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.